I'm Nina. I represented Serbia in 2011 in Digital Open Eurovision, and you are watching Destination Eurovision Memories.
Hello, I'm Sebastian.
I'm Matej.
And you are watching Destination Eurovision Memories with the phenomenal guest, which I always dream to chat. And it's Nina, who representing Serbia in 2011 in Düsseldorf with Čaroban. Hello, Nina.
Hi, guys. nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
And thanks that you join us today, because it's really awesome. All right, so maybe let's start with the thing which possibly lots of people want to know from you. So we will see a little bit your performance from Düsseldorf 2011. So please let us know, do you remember what you have in mind when the lights go out and your 3 minutes in the grand final of Eurovision Song Contest started?
Wow. I was speechless. I mean, it was definitely out of this world experience. And I think, I guess, like when someone asked me about, you know, the exact feeling that I had when I was on that stage, I would say I just had this amazing energy coming from the audience. It was just like a boom, it hit me. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is, with, you know, being 21 years old back then, it was just a huge thing. And it was an honor representing my country. So it was just like, you can't compare that feeling to anything. let's just stay with that.
I would like to ask, what do you like the most about this performance? And is there anything you would change if you could?
I don't think that I would change anything. I really like that we were quite unique in the sense that, you know, we had quite a retro performance, and we were so colorful on that stage. And to be honest, we were different from every other, you know, singer back then. So I think the creative team from Serbia did a really good job. And I think everybody sort of was saying afterwards, oh my God, I remember you. You were that retro girl. a blonde retro girl, and you had such a happy song. So I really like when I hear those words.
Yeah, we can fully agree with this. So please tell us, how many points from 1 to 10 you will give yourself and your team for this presentation?
everything, like the whole performance and the singing, or, oh yeah, okay. So I guess, you know, if we talk about the costumes and the scenography, I would give us quite a high mark, probably 8, 9 to 10s. Singing, I guess, you know, I'm a perfectionist, so, and I was really young back then, so I was a little bit scared as well, and you could hear in my voice. So I would go maybe halfway, 5 or 6. To my defense, it was a really, really difficult song to sing, especially when you're dancing. And it's a very fast song. So yeah, I think overall, let's say it would be like a strong 8, everything. I hope you guys agree with me.
Absolutely. I will give you a 10, quite honestly. So I'm still...
Oh, wow.
So still, it's very important to have it all. All right. So right now we will go to the questions from our editorial team, but also from your fans. You have lots of them. Still, nothing changed after 10 years or 9 years, as we're going to count it. So let's start with these questions.
So could you please tell us what was the most funny story from your whole Eurovision journey?
My most funny story, not getting drunk, but I had a sip before semi-final, before getting onto the stage. And I think it wasn't just me, it was like the whole team, we were quite celebrating. And I think we had rakia, which is like a national Serbian drink. So, and it really helped, to be honest. So I guess, not saying that I got drunk on the stage, but I was relaxed. And I don't know if I've said that to anyone before. But yeah, that would be it.
All right. So how about the most emotional moment from whole Eurovision time in 2011? The most emotional moment would touch you really hard.
The most emotional moment would be when I got a photo from my husband back then, my boyfriend. He get because he stayed in Belgrade. He gathered all of my friends to watch the finals, and they got all in the picture, and they've sent the photo to me saying like, "You're the winner," to us, and that was so nice. And I was like, I don't need to win, like, when I see that. And that would definitely be, I think I even cried a little bit, but obviously I was quite emotional back then and excited, so everything would make me cry. But yeah, that would be it.
And do you remember what was your favorite rehearsal and why?
Favorite rehearsal? I think every sort of rehearsal that we had in the hotel, which we had like thousands of rehearsals every day. But I just remember at like one stage, we were just all so tired and exhausted. And I remember us buying like some takeaway food, and we were just laying on the floor. And we kind of had this really good good rehearsal, and we knew that we were ready. And then we were just like, okay, this is it. Now let's relax, and let's just eat this food. So all of that, I mean, it was quite, all of those were like quite nice memories.
Okay. How about the most memorable interview or interesting question which you had in this time of Eurovision? Do you remember something like that, which stands in your mind?
I think there was one question, and I think it was from a Serbian, newspaper and journalist. They asked me, like, why your boyfriend isn't here, because you're singing about the magical, you're a magical man. And it actually got me thinking, it was me who actually didn't want him to come, because we just started dating. And I knew that it would be full on. It would be, you know, we would have all these things. I had to be focused on singing, you know, and representing Serbia in the best possible way. So I just thought he wanted to come, and I just thought, don't. And I got that question. But to my defense, obviously, you would understand that, you know, it just had to be that way. So, yeah.
And could you please let us know, what are your memories from the Eurovision red carpet opening the whole contest?
Oh, yeah. I think that was one of the best memories, actually, because it was my first red carpet. And it was just so good being with the team, being with my my girls back then, and just posing to all of these, you know, photographers and answering all these questions. And you know, when you're 21, of course that's so interesting and that's so fun. Well, I'm not gonna lie, it would be fun to do it again. I think just the whole sort of feeling of being there and knowing that, you know, you're there to represent your country, it's just an honor and it's an amazing feeling.
All of us have some imaginations about Eurovision when we are watching it on TV. So how about your first thoughts, impressions about seeing everything from backstage, from artist perspective? How it works that time with you?
Yeah, so, and being in Germany, it just enhanced that feeling that, you know, once we got there, everything is so scheduled. And I'm sure it's for every Eurovision. Like, there is no room for, you know, like, errors or anything. It's just everything has to be perfect. That's why you need to have, like, so, so many rehearsals. And even, like, you know, the choreo and your performance, it's just so planned, like, every single second of it. It's just planned and rehearsed. And I guess that was my first impression. There is a lot of hard work that goes into one, like those 3 minutes that you actually see on TV, right? And it looks to you like it's oh wow, like she's just natural. And but trust me, it's not that natural. It's really, I mean, of course you're enjoying it as well, but you know, just be aware that everything is really, really planned and really well organized. And as I said, being in Germany was even more like on spot.
Do you have any favorite songs and performances from other participants?
From that year?
Yes.
Look, I really like the winning song from Azerbaijan. It was a really nice duet. And I also like Slovenia, so Maja Kates from Slovenia that year, and Blue from UK, because I was crazy about them back then, obviously. So yeah, that, I think that, let's say those three were my favorites as well, if I can't say my song.
We asked you already about the song and performances, but is there any artist from the other participants or delegation members which you very fast get along with? You become super buddies here in the Düsseldorf.
Well, I do remember that, you know, we were hanging out with Luke, with all of them, especially my girls. They were just like very chatted to them, and they were quite open to, you know, just hanging out at all those parties, and which was quite a surprise for me, because I thought that they would be like, oh, you know, they won't. You know, they're such a big, huge stars back home and in the world. So I wasn't expecting for them to be like so down to earth. We also had a really good time with, let me remember who was that. So all of the ex-Yugoslav countries, we're always, you know, having fun with them. And Lena from Germany, she was lovely as well. And she actually won previous year. So it was really nice to actually chat to her and hear about, you know, all the impressions from the previous year, get some inside stories. So yeah, that was it, yeah.
I would like to ask, what did the Eurovision journey give you? What do you think, what is the biggest advantage and disadvantage of it?
I guess advantage, there's so many advantages of it, because you know, your music career just skyrockets afterwards, because Eurovision is such a big, you know, music festival that, you know, showcases all these nations, and just being part of that was crazy. And again, being just 21 and not having, I mean, I had some music career, but not, you know, of those sort of levels. And then again, I guess afterwards it opened the door to me to do what I want, which was, in a sense, so I had a band back home, and it was way easier to actually get all the gigs, and I really enjoyed gigs afterwards with them. And I think I've grown, like, musically, professionally, you know, and as a person, obviously. So it was just, as I said in the beginning, it was just out of this world experience, and it's a very unique experience for any music artist. And yeah, so in terms of disadvantages, I guess people expect from you to afterward, like, automatically for you to continue with the music in that sort of like very, very fast pace and produce a lot of music, and everybody expects from you that. But if you think about it, it doesn't really happen that often with artists. And I think that's okay. I mean, that's okay. So I guess what I wanted afterwards, because I was a uni and I was still finishing my studies, I just wanted to take a step back and finish my studies and finish that other part of my professional career. And I guess many people back then were quite disappointed that I didn't use all of that to actually maybe be a musician, so just a musician, not to have any other sort of professional aspect of my life. So I guess there was a little bit of that, you know, I didn't know, you know, whether if it's going to be accepted by the audience well, but I guess it, I mean, it is what it is. It's my life, and I decided to actually take it easy and not be as active as I, as maybe, you know, some people would expect me to. So, but yet again, I still produce music and I still, you know, have new songs. So, and I'm still doing other things in life, you know, I'm, you know, I finished PhD and I'm a mom. So, you know, it worked really well for me.
And the final question, unfortunately, but maybe it's going to be interesting. Is there any secret about your Eurovision journey which you never told anyone in public and you can share it with us right now?
Secret? I can't remember, actually. That's a pretty tough one. and it's been 10 years, so almost 10 years. So even if there was, I don't think I would remember. So many things have happened, actually, since then. So I guess, well, obviously, there wasn't a wig. I often are asked, you know, whether my hair was a wig or not. Was it my natural hair? Yeah, it was my natural hair. So that's not really a secret. But the amount of work that had to be put in to have that very little amount of hair on your head was huge. Every day there had to be like a lot of things happening with you know, because I have a curly and long hair, and it had to be sort of, you know, worked a lot. So after that, I immediately, like literally second day after I came back to Serbia, I dyed it and I changed it, and I didn't really, I just got it longer and longer, like every year. So yeah, that was interesting. I don't know if people are interested to hear that, but that's my secret.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are very sad to tell this, but this is the end of our interview. Phenomenal Nina from Serbia 2011. Please subscribe our channel to make sure that you won't miss any more materials. And one more question additional, because people are going to kill us. Nina, please, where we can find you on social medias, where people can be on touch with your new music? How about these things?
Okay, so I do have a YouTube channel. It's called Nina Music. So one word, Nina Music. And I've just actually released a new song. It's in Serbian. It's called Nemočna, which means powerless. And I'm very excited. That's kind of like my comeback, because I am going to keep, you know, getting these singles out, because, you know, yeah. So, yeah, so that's my YouTube channel. People can also follow me on social, like Instagram. I'm there, and I don't know how to, I mean, I could spell you, but it's Nina Glynn. So, or they can find me as my name and surname, so Danica Fudanović. If you can just write that down somewhere in the description for people to find me, that would be great. And also on Facebook as Nina. So, yeah, so follow me if you want to, you know, be updated with all the new songs that are coming out.
Absolutely. And once again, thank you so much for phenomenal song. I believe Maciek will agree with me. That is the one of the coolest entry ever from Serbia, and I really, after many years, it still gave me a lot of positive vibes, and I believe it's one of the most polished performance from Serbia, and we miss this kind of Serbia and Eurovision, so maybe.
Oh wow, thank you so much. That means a lot, and thank you guys for having me. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Exactly. So I really hope that we won't meet this time only, maybe in the future, maybe very very soon, you don't even know. So please check up our Destination Eurovision channel. And thank you so much for your time. Bye-bye.
Bye.